So in the past few weeks, we've been walking through Mark chapter 1. We're going to finish up Mark chapter 1 this morning. So last week, we saw the authority of Jesus. We saw the power of Jesus. But a God that's only a God of power and not a God of compassion is an austere and aloof God. If all we see is the power of God and His authority, if there's no compassion, if there's no deigning to reach down to enter into our sinful, messy lives, then we don't have any hope. But what we're going to see today is the power of God in Jesus and the compassion of God in Jesus. As we walk through the scriptures, I'm going to pray in just a moment. I want to invite you to pray with me that as we walk through the scriptures, that the Lord would do what only He can do in you and in me. That He would guide your mind and my mind to ways that we can allow His compassion to work in us. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about as we walk through this last passage in Mark 1. So will you pray with me? Lord, we come before You saying to You again, thank You, and we need You, and we love You, and thank You for loving us. Lord, we all enjoy Your compassion. Lord, as we walk through Your scriptures, would You, by Your Holy Spirit, would You speak to every heart here? Lord, mine included. Lord, would You have Your way in us? Would You win in us? Would You bring to mind the ways that You want to set us free, the ways that You want to guide us, the ways that You want to use us? Lord, so that You may gain more glory on this earth, so that Your kingdom, which is people, would increase on this earth. And Lord, even as has been said and prayed in many ways this morning, Lord, so that You would save sinners. Lord, Your compassion is what moves You to seek us out and save us. Lord, we pray that it wouldn't stop with us. Lord, I pray that You would take anything in me out of the way. Lord, we want to hear from You this morning. Have Your way in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Mark 1. We're going to start in verse 29. And we're going to read through the end of the chapter. So Mark 1, 29 through 45. That's where we're going today. I'm reading from a New American Standard. If you want, you can follow along best you can in whatever version you have. Mark 1, 29. Now remember, just before this, Jesus and His, up to this point, four disciples, two sets of brothers, have gone into Capernaum, into a synagogue. And so we pick up in verse 29, and immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And He came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to Him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door, and He healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and He was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who He was. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for Him. They found Him and said to Him, "Everyone is looking for you." Verse 38, He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And He went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching Him and falling on his knees before Him and saying, "If You are willing, You can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him, and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas. And they were coming to him from everywhere. There was a very famous pastor down in Texas beginning in the very late 1800s and for about the first half of the 20th century. His name was George Truett. He was godly and gifted and served at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, starting when he was 30 years old. He served as the pastor there for 47 years. Under his leadership, the church grew from 715 members to over 7,000, which at that day made it not only the largest Baptist church, but the largest church in the world at the time. Truett almost left the pulpit, though. He accidentally shot and killed one of his dear friends who was the chief of police there in Dallas. His daughter said that she never heard him laugh after that day. Praying and crying, he could not bring himself to preach again, until in a vision he saw Christ saying to him, you are my man from now on. When he returned to the pulpit, on that night, other churches in Dallas closed their doors so that their members could go to hear George Truett preach. In his later life, Truett had a radio program. And each day when it came to a close, he would say the same thing. Be good to everybody, because everybody is having a tough time. Because he knew personally what a heavy burden people could be carrying, he encouraged compassion to everyone. So compassion, what is it? What is it? Well, I've got a few notes up here for you. Our English word, compassion, the root of it means to suffer together. Literally, to suffer together. So you can see the idea. The idea is a sympathetic concern for the suffering of others. For today, our working definition is this: entering into another's pain, struggle, grief, or loss, or need. Entering into someone else's pain or struggle or need, and also with even an added idea of crossing a divide. In other words, compassion not only where you might expect it, but maybe where you wouldn't expect it. Maybe in an unlikely place. The word that's used here in verse 41 when it says Jesus was moved with compassion. The word here, I'm not going to give you the verb here, it's not so important, but the verb comes from a noun, and the noun, it literally is the New Testament Greek word for guts, viscera, your innermost body parts. It's the way we would think of your heart, your deepest part of your being. And I'm going to tell you what that word is just because I think it sounds kind of like what it is. The word for guts, it's splanknon. It kind of works, doesn't it? It kind of sounds like what it is. The word here, the verb that's used, is just one word. In English, it's moved with compassion. But the idea is that there's something that so grabs the deepest part of me that it moves me to action. Something that so reaches in and grabs me by the gut or by the heart that I'm moved to act. It's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It moves in me, grabs a hold of me, and moves me outward. It's the same exact word that's used of who we call the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Verse 33 says this, but a Samaritan, let me give you a background real quick. So you remember there was a Jewish fellow who had been robbed and beaten and left for dead on a road. And two Jewish religious leaders walked by, actually went around him, went on the far side of the road, would not go near him. Remember, the Jews and the Samaritans, they weren't friends, especially from the Jews to the Samaritans. The Jews looked down their nose at the Samaritans. But in the story that Jesus told, the Samaritan is the good guy. And it's the Samaritan that shows the compassion that Jesus said he wants his followers to show. Luke 10:33 says, "But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him on this battered, bruised, beaten, left for dead Jew. And when he saw him, he felt compassion." And remember, the compassion that he felt, what moved and grabbed a hold of him, didn't stay there. Remember, he binds up the man's wounds. He takes him and on his own dime has him cared for. That's compassion. That's our word. That's the idea. That's the heartbeat that God has for us in compassion. Secondly, we've got to see compassion is not just a good idea. It's the law. As I was studying for this week's message and the idea of compassion and this compassion that grips and grabs a hold and moves followers of God to action, I was reminded of two places where Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, two different places in chapter 9 and chapter 12, where Jesus refers to Hosea 6:6, and he's talking about compassion. In Matthew 9:13, he says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice." In Hosea 6:6, which is where you find that verse, "I desire compassion and not sacrifice." In one version of the English Bible, it's been translated, "I delight, for I delight in mercy and not sacrifice." The word that's translated delight or desire, it's all the same idea. It's the idea of what is pleasing to God, what is pleasing to Him. And as followers of God, it's built into us to want to please our Heavenly Daddy. We don't try to please Him to get an audience with Him. Jesus has already made the way. He's already made the way. Jesus has already bridged the gap. But as His children, it's in our DNA to want to please our Heavenly Daddy. And in Hosea 6:6, He says, "This is what I delight in. This is what pleases me. Compassion. Mercy." The word that's used here in Hosea, I've told you before, it's probably my favorite word in the Old Testament. Chesed. Chesed. God's loyal love. It's the idea of grace, mercy, kindness. It's a beautiful, big, ripe term. And that's the term that God says here. He says this is what He delights in. But the application of it is, how do we treat others? And so what do we bring to the table with others? God says He delights in it. But it's not just a good idea. You know, I'm tempted to think, when I have a thought or an idea of a way that I could give compassion, often I tend to think of it, not overtly, but in kind of the recesses of my mind as, well, that's optional. I could do that. I start doing moral calculus sometimes in my mind about what it'll cost me to give compassion. But look what else He says here. He says, "I desire compassion and not sacrifice." That last part, "and not sacrifice," that's really important. Remember, this was written under the Old Covenant. And when Jesus spoke these words, the whole earth was still under the Old Covenant. Jesus hadn't died for sin yet. He hadn't been raised up to new life yet. So remember, what would move a Jew to make sacrifice? Sin. The vast majority of sacrifices were sacrifices to temporarily cover over sin. So if we put all this together, what's that mean? It means that withholding compassion is not just, not the best option. It means withholding compassion is sin. Now, let me tell you, as I was studying this week, my toes kind of curled up a little bit because this convicts me. This challenges me. God's calling you and me to not think of giving compassion as an option among other options. He says, I'm your Father, and this is what's pleasing to me. It's not optional. This is what I made you for. This matters. This matters. This is God's heartbeat. He's laying it out for us. One other verse here. In Micah 6:8, he says, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Look right there in the middle, right there in the middle. And what does the Lord require? Requires a pretty strong word. And what does He require of you but to do justly, to love mercy? And the word for mercy here, exactly the same word as in Hosea 6:6. Exactly that chesed word again. God's compassion that moves Him to reach out and down into our lives. Sinners, to grab a hold of sinners and save us on His own dime. He pays the price to bring us to Him. Compassion. Compassion. So how does compassion work? How does it work? What's the dynamic that God wants to loose in us with His compassion? Well, we're going to walk through the passage that we just read here at the end of Mark, and we're going to look at a few things. But I want you to see this dynamic. As I was studying and praying, this is the dynamic that the Lord brought to my mind. You may make you chuckle or whatever, I don't know. But here's the idea. God's compassion to us. And think about that. Do you ever want God's compassion to you to stop or slow down? No way. That's life to you and to me. It's joy to you and to me. It's peace. It's peace with God. It's what we sang earlier. It's well with my soul because God is compassionate. It's the whole game right there. But there's this dynamic in God's compassion. God gives His compassion to us, and it's not to stop there. You see, there's a big arrow right in the middle there. His compassion to us is supposed to lead to His compassion through us. So as I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, fill her up. Don't hold back. I need every bit of your compassion, and I do. You know, as a daddy, sometimes I'm tempted to be harsh with my kids. If my kids were all here, they would all be saying amen right now. But sometimes I can be harsh with them. And I tell you what, the thing that moves me more than any other thing is when I remember God's compassion to me. Not because I didn't deserve hell. I come to the Lord all the time. Jesus, please clean up my mess. And He does. That's compassion. And His compassion is supposed to work in me and then come out of me to everyone around me. His compassion is not for me alone. I'm not supposed to be like the Dead Sea. Why is the Dead Sea dead? Because it has no outlet. There's nowhere for that water to go. God wants you and me to be a river. He wants us to let it flow. See, I'm never going to run out of God's compassion. His compassion is never ending. I could never out-sin His grace. Romans 5:20. His compassion comes into me, and it wants to get out of me. That's the nature of God's compassion. So let's look at the scriptures and let's see His compassion to us and His compassion through us. So quickly, a few things. In verse 38, it says, He said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. You know what? Somehow, some way, someone, as they followed the Lord, someone preached the gospel. Someone proclaimed the good news that you could be saved to you and to me. God's compassion to us is he gets the gospel to us. It might have been through the agency of someone who translated the word of God into a language that you could understand, albeit a few hundred years ago, but so that you could understand how to be saved. It may have been through somebody preaching. It may have been in a Bible study. It may have been a friend. It may have been a parent. But God got the gospel to you and to me. His compassion to us. His compassion to us. Now in verse 40, let's look at verse 40 again. This is where the leper comes to Jesus. And the leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." So what do we see here? First of all, we see that we are in need. We're just like the leper. When we first come to Jesus, we come a big old ball of need. And even now, as a follower of Jesus, I come needy. I need his life. I need his peace. I need his conviction. I need his hope. I need his encouragement every day, every moment. So we come needy, and we get compassion, just like the leper. Look at the leper. He comes humbly and believing. He comes humbly. He gets down on his knees, and he declares, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." He comes looking to the Lord Jesus in faith. He comes believing, and he receives compassion. Look how Jesus receives that leper. He receives him as he is. He receives the leper as he is. He doesn't say, "Well, you know, first you got to get a few things cleaned up there." Nope. As is. The same way he takes you and me. If you and I will come to him humbly, and if we'll come turning away from sin, repenting, and turning toward him, he says, "Come on. I've got grace for you. I've got compassion for you." And one other thing that we see here, he touches and he cleanses. He touches the leper. He didn't have to touch him. We know from all the places throughout the scriptures, Jesus doesn't have to touch anybody to heal them. With a few words, he raises Lazarus from the dead. He didn't touch anybody. But he reaches out and he touches the leper. Now that's a big deal. Lepers were unclean. They literally were untouchables in that society. They would have to go around calling out, "Unclean, unclean," so that people that were in the crowd would have to make a way. And Jesus does something crazy. He touches the leper. And he cleanses the leper. When the Lord was drawing me to himself, the last domino that had to fall, I already understood the gospel. I understood how to be saved. I understood that Jesus had paid for sin on the cross, had been raised up to new life, and that he was offering me. But the last thing that had to fall in my mind was I thought, "Well, I need to clean myself up so that I can bring myself to Jesus so that he can really clean me." And of course, that's a lie. I can't clean me at all. Only Jesus cleanses, and he cleanses us. Compassion, his compassion to us. So now in closing, let's look at God's compassion through us. His compassion through us. In verse 30, it says, "Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they," meaning these four disciples, "they spoke to Jesus about her." Who can you speak to Jesus about? When I was a youth pastor some years ago, I had this particular small group of 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, and I called it the doulos crew. Doulos just means slave or servant. And to be part of the doulos crew, you had to do a good number of things. And one of the things each of these kids had to do, and I along with them, and any other adults that worked with me in that ministry, one of the things that we did was each person had to come up with their own personal MWL, most wanted list. Your own personal most wanted list. That simply means, who are you praying about? Who are you talking to Jesus about? God wants His compassion to come into our lives and move out of our lives, to move us to bring people to Jesus, to talk to Jesus on people's behalf. We see the same thing in verse 35. Jesus gets up early and goes out to a secluded place to pray. But you know, that prayer, it's a costly prayer. We're told that late into the night, ill people and demon-possessed people have been brought to Jesus. And then we're told that before the sun comes up, He's out praying. That's costly. As I was reading this, I looked and I said, well, when does Jesus get to sleep? Well, that night, apparently, not much, if any. And why? He was talking to his daddy. He was connecting again with his father. You and I can bring people to Jesus. We can talk to Jesus about people. In verse 38, Jesus says, let us go somewhere else. So remember what happens here. Jesus has been out praying. And some of his disciples, they say, well, where'd Jesus go? They go and find him and they say, everybody's looking for you. Right? This tremendous, urgent, felt need. People need you, Jesus. You've been casting out demons and healing people. People are looking for you, Jesus. And look at what he says in verse 38. He says, let us go somewhere else. Let us go somewhere else. That's pretty powerful. There were people right there that were looking for him. He meets with his father and he comes away saying, this is my task. I've got to preach the gospel in other places too. Let's go, guys. Here's what I see here. When Jesus says, I've got to go other places and preach the gospel, we see good works and good news. Good works and good news. So how does that apply for you and me? The people that are in your life that you want to see come to know the Lord. The people that are around you, in your family. We just prayed for our government. We just prayed for our world. People need the Lord. And God's put us here as His mouthpiece and as His hands and as His feet. He had been doing good works. He had been healing people physically and casting out demons. But you know, those things in and of themselves, that's not the gospel. Those are good works. But good works can pave the way for the gospel. So Jesus does these good works and then he gives the gospel. That's a good pattern for you and for me. By his kindness, he makes a way for the gospel. You and I would do well as well to consider how can I, the people that I want to see come to know the Lord, how can I serve them? How can my compassion not just be a warm, fuzzy feeling within me, how can it come out of me? Both with good works and the good news. A both and. And if you want to get the gospel, if you want the Lord to open up doors of opportunity for you to be able to speak the words of the gospel into people's lives, a great way to do it is to pray, Lord, how can I serve these people? Lord, would you give me opportunity to love these people in real ways and open up a door for me to love them with the good news? The gospel poured out through us in compassion. We see in verse 41 that he touches that leper. He touches the leper. We've already talked about how crazy that would have been, but what about for you and me? Can our touch do anything? I'm going to read you just a short excerpt from an article that was in a Christianity Today. That's a magazine. This article is entitled, The Spiritual Power of Physical Touch. I'm not going to read you. It was a long article. It had all kinds of research backing it up. And this research, none of it was done by people that were trying to proclaim Jesus. They're just looking at the power of human physical touch. But this is one of the things that was said. Touch is an essential human need. When we shake hands or put our arm across a friend's shoulder, the body releases neurological chemicals like oxytocin and serotonin that feel good, while also inhibiting chemicals that cause stress. So there it is. It's all broken down scientifically. But it is interesting that science can put some names and some terms to the very thing that we all know innately. which is human touch is powerful. When Jesus touched that leper, he wasn't healing him by touch. He didn't need to touch him. Touching a leper was a big deal. For you and me, touching those who are hurting, touching those who are maybe feeling less than, that's a big deal. That's a powerful way of showing compassion. And finally, testifying. Look at verse 44. And Jesus sent that leper who he had just cleansed away, and he said, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony for them." As a testimony. Well, what do you think the nature of the testimony was? What was it that this cleansed leper was testifying to? Well, if we just look at the scripture, I think it's pretty clear. Here's what he testified to. God is here. And he is willing. And he is able to save. I love that Jesus said, go give a testimony to the priests. And I believe that's what his testimony would have been. God is here. And that's a good testimony for you and me. God is here. Jesus is alive and well, and he saves sinners like you and me. And like everybody you're going to bump into today, like whoever's going to wait on you this week at a restaurant, like whoever's going to check you out of the grocery store, Jesus saves sinners. That's our testimony. That's our testimony. So for you and for me, compassion. It can't stay with us. It's got to come out of us. It can't just be warm, fuzzy feelings. It's got to come out in action. It's got to come out in hands and feet and words and touch and the gospel. As we go out, before we go out, let's pray. And I'm going to give you a quiet moment. I just want you to, if you're willing, I just want you to talk to the Lord right there where you are. Just talk to the Lord. And just ask him, Lord, what do you have for me? And if you know his compassion, thank him. And if you don't know his compassion yet, well, you can be just like that leper and you can come and say, will you cleanse me? Let's seek him. Oh, God, we praise you for your compassion. Lord, were it not for your compassion through Jesus, we couldn't even talk to you. You wouldn't even be able to look at us. But your compassion through your Son Jesus has taken our sin out of the way once and for all and made a way for us to have eternal life with you, real life with you, face-to-face relationship with a holy God. Lord, that's crazy. That's not of us. It's of you and your compassion. But God, you said that your desire is compassion. Lord, don't let your compassion stay with us. Lord, move us. Change us. Lord, bust up the fallow ground in our hearts where we want to hold onto that compassion but not give it freely for whatever reason. Lord, we can't. Lord, let this be a body. Let us be a people. Let us be individuals who enjoy and revel in your compassion and give it freely. Lord, thank you for loving us. We love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go out today, enjoy, enjoy, consider, and let it go. We love you. Have a blessed Lord's Day.